Hello there, and welcome to the podcast. It's John Markar here, and I thought I'd just jump in with a very quick but very important message that I wanted to share with you before you delve into this episode of the Driven Chat podcast. This podcast, the Driven Chat podcast, has now come to an end. But don't worry, I'm not going to stop you from listening to this episode or from catching up with the 185 episodes that we've recorded in this format. I just wanted to let you know that if you're looking for our new episodes recorded after December 2023, then you'll need to seek out our new podcast, The Driven Podcast. You can find The Driven Podcast in all the usual podcast platforms, including, chances are, the one that you're listening to this one on right now. So please do enjoy this episode, share it with a friend by all means. But when it's done, don't forget to search for the new podcast, The Driven Podcast, and subscribe to the new format to hear the new stuff. To make life easy, head on over to the Driven website via driven.site. There you will find links through to the new podcast, including links to your preferred podcast platform. And hey, whilst you're there, why not check out everything else we do, including hand-picked automotive news stories, car and bike reviews, video features, and even more. For now, though, I'll let you enjoy this episode, and I will remind you again at the end of the episode, but for the future reference, this message is approximately 1 minute and 30 seconds long. That's 6 clicks on the 15-second skip button. Enjoy!
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Driven Chat podcast in association with Paramex Digital. You dream it, we bring it to life. Find out more at drivenchat.com.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Driven Chat podcast. I'm Andy J. I am sat with the Amy Shaw Photography, currently wearing a one piece.
Oh yeah, a denim one piece, I'll have you know.
Which doesn't sound like it's possible, but I'm seeing it and it's excellent.
Thank you.
I'm also sat with a man wearing a zoot suit. It is the one and only Mr. John Markar.
You don't hear that expression enough anymore, zoot suits. But yeah, I wish I was wearing a zoot suit. I think I could pull it off.
I reckon you could pull it off. I'd quite like to see you in a zoot suit.
Yeah. Is there any zoot suit manufacturers listening? Get in contact, I'll give you my measurements and we'll make it happen.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, usually John is very hesitant to go for anything. We've heard him up for something,
yes,
and it happens to be a zoot suit. Yeah, of all the things I thought Markar would be up for, it wasn't the zoot suit. Anyway, we haven't done any cars and we haven't introduced a special guest. Now, anybody that listens to this regularly will know two of my favourite people on the planet are John Markar and Amy Shaw.
Oh.
There is a third, and today is going to be one of my favourite podcasts ever because he genuinely is one of my favourite people in the world. It's Rick Parfitt Jr. How are you doing, Rick?
I thought you were going to say, and he couldn't be here, so we've got Rick. I'm good. Can I just point out, if we're talking about zoot suits and one pieces, I'm currently sporting a Cobra Kai hoodie.
You are.
And if anyone hasn't watched that of our distinct age group, watch it because it is the most wonderfully awful yet amazing TV show ever.
I think Cobra Kai is going to be this season's Tiger King. You know what I mean? First lockdown was defined by Tiger King. I think Cobra Kai could fill that void because there is a season 3 imminent, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's in January. Brilliant. I'm like so into it that I even know when the next series is coming out. Literally, this is the wonderful thing with given the world, you get to binge watch stuff. And if anyone's of our, I wouldn't say our age, because I'm obviously distinctly older than all of you.
Well,
but
not me, but you and I are both the older generation.
Oh, really?
Well, like, Amy and John are very, very, very young. I'm fabulously old and you're in the middle somewhere.
But we used to be so rock and roll in the old days.
Well, you
Andy.
Did. I was always the nerd. I was never cool.
Well, if you're of Andy and I's age, then some of you might remember Karate Kid, and it's basically based on that and moved on. Anyway, I don't know why, but I got really into it. I don't know how we've got a script. But I'm wearing a Cobra Kai hoodie and I'm not worried about that.
See, this is already my favourite start to an automotive skewing podcast. We've talked zoot suits, Cobra Kai and denim one piece.
What is a zoot suit?
It's like a 70s kind of lounge leatherwear, isn't
it?
Yeah. Sort of
a leather suit. Often,
well, no, it's not a leather always suit. Leather.
No, it just but smacks of Anchorman.
Yes, it is Anchorman.
My, my suit smells of rich leather.
It's got to be. It's got to be a strong orange or purple, blue. You know, it's got to. It's going to make you look twice.
Okay.
It's the kind of thing you would pair with winkle pickers.
But probably not good for, you know, hot weather. Presumably.
I mean, I don't think we need to worry about that.
Not that I choose. Do you choose? You know, clothing based on climate.
I mean, if I'm going skiing, I've never skied in my life, but I would probably buy ski suit.
Yeah, you're probably right.
If I was going deep sea diving, I might buy a wetsuit. So in that sense, yeah. So if I was going racing, then we go back to automotive. I might buy a race suit and some thermals that are fireproof.
Seamless.
Was quite seamless. Because do you race cars?
Badly, yes. but I have been known to turn a lap or two.
You dabble.
That's a good expression.
So look, I'm going to list off a few of Rick's ridiculous number of successes. Mm. So Sunoco Challenge winner, British GT GT3 champion, British GT GT4 champion, raced against Lewis Hamilton in karting, has also raced Caterhams, Ginettas, electric vehicles just in car parks, and a bunch of other things. I mean, you've basically been in around. He is one of the Bentley boys, and I mean, he's just a ridiculous peddler. A ridiculous peddler.
Oh, that's very sweet, but average at best, I would say. Thank you.
Champions are never average. How many championships have you won?
A few. A couple. But I guess it's quite nice to be, as yet, still the only person to have won both British GT4 and GT3 titles. So that's quite good.
That's stood for a few years.
Yeah, but I'm sure someone will come along and take that crown off me. But, you know, literally I found racing so late in life. You know, I mean, like with most people, it's a very expensive sport. So it's so difficult to get on the grid. And basically, my two worlds collided when I was at China White's having a slightly crazy evening for my birthday. And a certain Mr. Tomlinson, who owns Ginetta Cars, was there with me. And over a couple of orange squashes, he said, you've won lots in go-karts, Rick. Why don't you get in a race car? And I was like, dude, you know, I've got no money. He goes, happy birthday. and so he said, right, you need to get into a GT5, which is now called the G40 Cup, I think. That was my initial sort of run out. And I think everyone just laughed at me, and rightly so, to be fair, because I'd stopped karting about 10 years earlier and so hadn't done anything competitive. Actually, no, tell a lie. I'd done
Silverstone Classic.
Yes, that was
Don't
it.
Forget that.
No, that, yeah.
Which okay. You also happened to, where did you come on that one, Rick?
I might have won that one. But yeah, I mean, come on. I was up against Heston and Brendan Cole and various other celebrities
who are all
very, very well known, but I can't remember currently.
Heston Blumenthal. How do you say his surname? Is it Blumenthal, Blumenthal or Blumenthal?
I think a lot of people say Tal.
But there was Neil Primrose was there, and he can actually really pedal. So he's, you know, raced Lolas and stuff. The drummer of Travis. And also an immensely cool chap. I'll just put it out there. Very, very cool. And so I think we went off and traded a little bit of paint. I mean, what's going to happen when Fiat UK turn up with, like, you know, 12 Abarths and just give them to completely unqualified people on a circuit and they've got half a roll cage in. So we're all feeling pretty confident that not a lot can happen. And naturally, I think, you know, carnage ensued. But luckily, Neil and I were out front, and I did a little bit of a cheeky dive into what was then Abbey. And that was it. After that, I had to go racing. Yeah.
Well, do you know what I love about this is because the Silverstone Classic Celebrity Race, which is the one that Rick won, has quite
Can
a
I just
lot-
point that out, that they must have been running really short of celebrities because or trouble booking, because I have no idea why I was asked, but that was very sweet of them.
Because you're a rock star. You know, it's as simple as that. And, you know, anyway, Celebrity Race. Rick won it his year, went on to become British GT multiple champion and so on. Other celebrities that have got the bug as a result of the Silverstone Classic include Kelvin Fletcher, who was also a British GT champion, Shane Lynch, who we've spoken to. Yes. He got into it off the back of the Silverstone Classic. And there, I think it was Paul Hollywood got excited got into racing, and Anstead got into racing off the back of the Silverstone Classic. All of this is because someone cool at the marketing department at Silverstone Classic went, these are interesting people that might like to have a good fun. Amy Williams, the Olympic athlete, she's got into racing off the back of it. Have got the bug.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
They have a go, and this echoes what Amy discovered just the other day.
Last weekend.
When you were in your car, charging it around Silverstone as well. Once you get in a competitive race, I'm not speaking as a man who has experience, I'm speaking as a man who's spoken to people that have done it, you get hooked, especially if you happen to be not rubbish.
Yeah.
So as Annie just mentioned, my first race was last weekend. So
yeah, let's explore this.
Well, no, when I,
tell me what it was
well,
about.
You said you got into racing late, and so how old were you when you did your first race?
He was 58.
Yes, I certainly feel that currently, given the world. I must have been.
Because I imagine myself now in like 5 years' time as champion, so I'm just sort that time out.
I would say I was probably about 15 years older than you are currently, so when I first got into a race car, so it was about 10 years ago. Does that work as a compliment?
That's a brilliant compliment. And what I love is that you have assumed that Amy is 16 years old.
There you go. That's all right. Cool. Just about all right then. It's atrocious.
In fact, my math is completely wrong. You've assumed Amy is 13 years old.
Well,
So Janetta Juniors then. Yeah.
Well,
it was pretty late. I must have been around sort of my mid 30s, I would say.
Okay.
Mid to late 30s ish. And
you were about 34. Come on.
Probably about 34. Yeah,
well,
it was 10 years ago. Yeah, 34.
So
you were
just over 5 years ahead of where Amy is now.
Okay, cool.
Amy's 29. So,
29. So I've got a bit of a head start. This could work.
No, this is perfect.
Okay, cool. So yeah, I mean, the idea of doing like the Silverstone Classic would be dream race. So when you got asked to do that and approached to do that, like what kind of went through your head thinking, yeah, this looks like fun, I'll give it a go? Or was it more like, oh my word, this would be amazing, dream race?
Well, if anyone hasn't actually been to the Silverstone Classic, I would highly recommend it, because whilst it's great to go to modern era race weekends and stuff, there's something about the Classic which is just so incredibly special, because all the cars seem just unfiltered. There are no electrical aids, so they're spinning. The tire smoke is real. You know, you can hear all the Weber carbs chugging away, the noise through some of the classic Le Mans races, and it's just unbelievable, and it just feels like proper hairy-chested, proper, you know, racing. And it's just there's something so visceral and amazing. I'd I just highlight to any car fans to go. You have all the car clubs. I know I'm sound like I'm doing an ad, but it is such an amazing weekend. So when I was asked, I mean, I was a fan of the event anyway, to ask to do that, I you know, there was no doubt, but I'd never sat in an actual race car. Not, I would say that these were out and out race cars, but it was an immense honour. But naturally, like with anything else, as Andy knows and John knows as well, is that the old competitive spirit was there straight from the off, and there was no effing way that I was going to be finishing any lower than the top step.
Was there any form of qualify before the actual race, or was it just get in a car, see where you end up on the grid and fight?
No, yes, that's it. That's the ludicrous concept of it. Is that we had absolutely zero. I think we had one practice and there were shunts left, right, centre. And the following year, this was even funnier, was they teamed up with Morgan and they'd actually given, they invited me back. And so we had a whole bunch of lovely people again with Morgans, but these Morgans were owned by real people. Oh. So they weren't owned. Oh, no. And so the owners were persuaded to give us their cars to race.
Oh my word.
Wow. Yeah. Us lot, are they absolutely nuts? And so we had this practice on the Stowe circuit. Brendan promptly chucked it off at the end of the straight, totaled it. Right, wow. You know, and came in with like a knee, and it was all really up in the air whether he'd even be able to do Strictly as well. It was real, but you know, and I remember it being trailered away, and the owner was literally crying. And then in the race, oh God, there was a footballer. Can you remember who it is, Andy?
I mean, I can say some names, but they'll all be wrong. Give me a genre.
I'm sure if you YouTube it, there's. Morgan rolls three times in the celebrity race.
I'll Google it right now.
And
yes, whilst you're
talking. It was the most. I mean, they've just let us loose in people's cars, and it was just.
I can just imagine, like, I'm visualizing absolute carnage.
It was, and this crash was absolutely horrific.
See,
he went
so
over
unfair,
three
it?
Times,
sounds
and his helmet was completely mashed up.
Was it Luther Blissett?
Yes.
Oh, Luther Blissett.
That's it.
Watford's finest, Luther Blissett.
But he's also someone else. He's been racing in the Alpha Championships, and so ever
Is
since
that
then,
right?
Yeah, he's had the bug as well. So
I want to start a rumor that's false. That's how Rowan Atkinson got into it, you know, because on the very few occasions that I've managed to say hello to Rowan Atkinson. He has been racing at the Silverstone Classic, but not. This is the weird thing. There's a celebrity race, right? You'd think he'd qualify. He's there racing his own motors.
Oh, he does it properly.
In the grown-up stuff.
Yeah,
you know, it's like.
But that's like a proper. He's a proper car nut, isn't he?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. It is.
I mean, he's quite good at crashing as well, wasn't he? You
know? Yeah. Had a couple.
Oh God, I'm so going to get in trouble with this. But he wasn't it his McLaren just, F1.
Mr. Bean's yeah.
He had the
on
first.
Your
he had the first McLaren
Rick.
F1, didn't he?
Rick.
Yeah. Purple.
Okay. Teddy.
He's not happy with
impressions
you.
Are not my forte.
Don't drive, Teddy.
So I'm going to share something now with the listener that may not be aware of this, but there are some people that listen to the show for John Marker, and therefore they have been following John Marker's career for some time.
To be honest.
I think a lot of our listeners are here for John, and that's great. So if you have been a Marker fan for a while, Marker through the years, then you will have also listened many moons ago to the Motor Show on Talk Radio, which was a show that we did for a couple of years, and it was a lot of fun. And if you remember the early days of the Motor Show, what I like to call the halcyon days, back when it was good, it was when we had myself, John, and Rick.
Yeah,
absolutely zero synergy.
Rick had a stint which was fantastic. We had a really good vibe going on. We had loads of fun. We were doing mad things like going to Montenegro.
We went to Montenegro to do a live radio show.
We did
how bonkers
live
was
radio
that?
Show
from the side of a mountain
with
in
example.
Montenegro.
With example.
And Gordon Smart.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other kind of cool, interesting people. We charged an F-Base up a hill where I nearly gave the pair of you heart attacks.
45 minutes of work and 3 days of spa action, I seem to remember as well.
I remember the two of us waking up with a slightly sore head and going, what are you doing today? Are you going to take the car for a drive? And I was like,
you're
all right. Massage, actually. The two of us getting
really
golf buggied around to the spa at the hotel. We were there to drive this beautiful, brand new F-Base, and there's us getting bloody massages and
had to be loosened up to really enjoy the
But in our aerodynamics. Defense, in our defense, driving in Montenegro, God, there's an experience. I think we were briefed, weren't we? We were given a car that we all went out together in the car. And I think whoever it was, lovely gentleman from the press office, said just a couple of things to be aware of. There's a lot of Mark II Golfs here, and they're all driven really exuberantly. And I was like, what on earth does that mean? And it's not until you get out on the road. Literally every other car is a Mark II Golf. If you're wondering where all the Mark II Golfs have gone, they've all gone to Montenegro, and they're all being driven by maniacs, because we were getting overtaken into blind corners by two or three abreast Mark II Golfs going around the outside of our F-Pace. And I think after we did our drive, we were like, well, that's fine. We don't need to drive the car anymore. We'll just go and drink.
I seem to remember you driving rather spiritedly.
Well, you know, you had to keep up with the Mark II Golfs. Yeah, it was important.
Yeah. Keeping up, overtaking, driving, it's all acceptable.
Did you die?
Especially in one of,
did you know, die, Rick?
In a Jaguar press car, a little piece of me did die. My fear factor died. After that, I you know, it didn't matter what race car I was in. I wouldn't be scared after that.
Yeah. But that was a good weekend.
They were great, great fun. And the thing is, after that weekend, you know, we got known, did a live radio show from Montenegro. This was unheard of, particularly on the network. It was a really fun, exciting thing to do. And then the offers started coming flooding in, and it looked like we were going to have some really good fun. Trouble was, Rick decided, A, to be a very successful musician and therefore not have the availability, and B, to move to Nottingham, to obviously a mansion.
Centre of the UK-niverse, I'll have you know.
UK-niverse, love it.
And so the dream band got disbanded, which was a real shame, because I thought we were
having a reunion, guys. Hey. It's so nice to see you. And meet Amy, obviously.
Hello.
You know. You've far upgraded from me, let's be honest, you guys. Seriously.
I mean,
come
all
on.
You're going to do is throw on a denim onesie and I'll be gone.
I would quite like to see you in a denim onesie, Rick. I imagine you've probably got something like that at home.
My family has a rather close relationship with denim, as most people know, let's be honest. For those of you who don't know, my father was in a band that once did a tour that was actually sponsored by Levi's, and they actually got paid in, they got a roll of denim.
No, which, way.
No, seriously.
Really?
And Dad was like, oh, what am I supposed to do with this? You
know, that's, well, I hope there was some financial, like.
Yeah, no, there was, I'm sure. Like, there was
just a roll of denim.
I love
although
that.
Given some of his financials, as most people know, that might have been.
A roll of denim.
That would have been another one of his better deals, probably.
You see, that's my favourite thing, because I've done voiceovers for some brands historically, and people assume, like, because you've lent your voice to a brand, that obviously you get loads of the product. No one realises it is a job, and therefore you get a salary. You don't get the thing that you're talking about. Mm. I'd love it if I did, but you don't. I mean, I haven't done any of these big brand ones for a while now, but, you know, things like L'Oreal, for example, which I did, that I genuinely had, you know, because I was a single man when I did L'Oreal, and I genuinely had girls asking me if they could have, just assuming my house must be full of assorted L'Oreal product that I obviously as a bloke would not have any use for. And they were genuinely like, oh, is there any chance I could have that foundation? Or whatever it might be. I don't even know.
As if you sit in the office with all the products around
literally,
you.
Yeah. Literally, because I've obviously done it, so therefore I've got everything L'Oreal ever do.
To be fair though, folks, if you can't see what's going on currently now, to this day, Andy has very luscious golden locks.
That
basically soft skin as well.
Fall lusciously around his head. I like to think this is a direct result of the L'Oreal campaign.
I think it's the connection. Yeah, no, but that's my point. Is that the fact that your dad and the band were paid in denim?
It's brilliant.
It's fantastic. Yeah. I love it.
I think more of that happens than we know. I'm sure, I can't think who it was, tell me the story. They were involved in sponsorship of the F1 back in the 1990s, and Ray-Ban sunglasses were a title sponsor one year, I think for Honda or for Jordan, I can't remember. But the car was famous because it has Ray-Ban plaster all over the side. And people just assumed that this was a multi-million pound sponsorship deal that Ray-Ban had given to the team. But supposedly, so the story goes, and I can't remember who it was that told me the story, but it was a voice of authority. And supposedly, the race team had got to their final week in trying to generate sponsorship and had failed at it, but found a private financer that basically covered everything. So they just needed a big brand. So somebody knew somebody that knew somebody else's dog walker's cousin's neighbour that worked at Ray-Ban and said, oh, we'll do it. What do you want for the deal? And they went, I don't know, give us some glasses. So supposedly, every member of the team, both office-based and mechanic drivers, all got three or four pairs of Ray-Bans. And for that, no financial side of it at all, but for that deal, they got Ray-Ban as the title sponsor on the side of an F1 car.
I reckon that's a pretty good deal for all.
But could you imagine signing the deal? Yeah, we're going to pay you in 135 pairs of Ray-Bans, if that's all right.
That's amazing, isn't it? Can you imagine, but in the old days as well, I was reading Eddie Jordan's book a little while back, and the deals, how they were done for F1, definitely changed a lot.
Yeah.
He was the way the deals came about were literally like having a chat in a bar and shaking hands on it, and that was it.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Well, can I, look, you might tell me to back off, and in which case, absolutely fine. But I'm going to open a door here because we're on to sponsorship now, and you've had an unusual sponsor, which has an unusual story. Now, you can give me a shake of your head if you want me to stop. It's not Red Bull.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to talk about
that. Okay, fine. Just because they're such a curious... I'm obviously going to close the door now, but it's a really weird situation with that drink, isn't it?
It's really, really weird.
Yeah.
And we'll just leave it there.
Yeah, no, okay. No, we will leave it there.
What?
I know, I'm like, John and I are looking, what is this?
No, but I wasn't going to talk to him about it. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, well, that's
just
really weird.
Oh, it's just one of those things. Something got promised and didn't deliver, and that's that.
Very strange.
But that's why we won't mention them.
You know, there's lots of sponsorships like that. Have
we
gone that way before.
It wasn't just for you. It was for a whole bunch of people. It was very strange circumstance. Anyway, right. I want to get back to racing. You decided, okay, you won the championship again. Then you reunited with Seb, got back in a Bentley.
Celebrity TV's celebrity go dating, Seb Morris, yes.
He's going to love you for that. and you got back in the car and you had some lovely times. You had some unfortunate incidents. It didn't quite go.
Last year, it didn't quite go
as planned. But nonetheless, you were there or thereabouts in plenty of the action. You know, you were in the mix a lot.
Yeah.
And then you decided, actually, I'm going to have a bit of downtime because you had retired from racing and you got lured back in.
Yeah, I mean, I was brought back in because, you know, luckily the speed is still there, which is great and good to know. And a team who were closely affiliated to Bentley wanted to bring, people used to affectionately call us, which is very sweet, the dream team, because Seb and I are quite fun both on and off the circuit, and we get on very well, and it's quite an amusing sort of banter
it's
that
a great
goes
dynamic.
On. So we connected quite well with people, and it is great fun. You know, we're great mates, and so there was a really good vibe within the team, and obviously we'd built and given Bentley their first ever domestic title, which is an amazing achievement, and I'm very proud of that. So they wanted to go back with a new car, and there was a new customer team, JRM, and they approached me and made an amazing offer to come back and reunite the dream team. And so I was like, okay, we'll do it again, because I felt like I'd proved everything I needed to within the British part of GT racing. And we came back, and sadly, for one thing or another, we just didn't get enough time in the car. We didn't have enough time to develop it. We had very few test sessions, and test days were virtually non-existent. So we were a little bit on the back for all year. Plus, you hear people talking about the balance of performance in this, and that's becoming a more and more issue. And I wouldn't want anyone to have that job, because you've got to try and balance a Lamborghini, which is naturally aspirated, versus a McLaren, and then a twin turbocharged Bentley. I mean, how do you get them to be right on each circuit with different characteristics and different how the cars? I mean, it's really difficult. And for the most part, they do a great job, but definitely last year we were hampered, you know, and it was really difficult with a car that we found quite difficult to get into the window, and that's just purely because we didn't have enough time, and I had very little seat time, so it was a tough year. The team still did a great job, and weirdly enough, we won the first round, which was great. Yeah. You know, it's always the one you want to turn up and win, which was perfect, and it kind of all went downhill from there, really. Silverstone was probably one of, despite having had that amazing victory where we in 2017, where we'd trounced everyone by doing this amazing strategy by running light and pitting early, and everyone didn't know what we were doing. And so by the time we'd really maximized our advantage, and I think we won by a record amount in GC, it's over a minute. It was incredible. So no one was going to fall for that again. And we fought so hard in that race with a car that definitely wasn't as competitive as possible to come back to third. And then because it was torrential rain, you know, I don't know if anyone can remember last year in 2019. And so the night before they'd rolled it on, but because, you know, you have to take it all the way down the pit lane and then put it on the scales, which are all outdoors and stuff like that. And because rainwater and everything had got into the car, we'd taken the measurement, and but we hadn't accounted for it. Then the following day, the team hadn't. And so we ended up being, after all the deg, we were like just a couple of kilos under, which is, and so we ended up getting disqualified, which was, I don't think I've ever felt so gutted in my life, because we fought so, so, so hard. We were absolutely at an end at the end of that race. And to get a podium, it felt like actually we'd done better than when we won, you know, and so for that to be snatched away, and we would have been in the title fight from there. And I think that was after that, it was, you know, it just became tougher and tougher. So it was a tough year, but the car's coming on and on, as you can see now. And I think there's a new tire, which suits it a little bit better. And, you know, hey, listen, to have driven, you know, affiliated to Bentley is something that is an absolute dream. And if you thought back to those days of having a couple of orange juices in China White, where it would actually have got me to now, I would never have thought that. And so whilst you get into the race driver head of excuses or this or that or bop or whatever, you know, the one thing I'll always take away is that I feel immensely privileged and so hugely, hugely lucky that people have seen and seen a little bit of something good and have invested in me from sponsors to actually get me onto the grid. And I hope I've sort of repaid them in time. And so we'll see what happens. But we've all had a bit of an enforced year off this year, haven't we, really? And next year is looking, I'm currently trying to embark on a bit of a new interesting journey as well for next year.
Okay. Wait, there's the open door slide.
Clunk. You said it, clang. And then backed away from the mic.
Yeah. So are we're seeing you in a race car?
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, that's the plan. It looks like with the world as it is at the moment, music doesn't seem to be coming back anytime soon, so which is a real shame, and we shouldn't turn this into that sort of a chat, but it's been for the arts, as most people know, it's been very, very tough. And some of the most talented musicians in the world are all struggling, and not just musicians, but everyone involved in all performing arts, from actors through to, you know, and also all the technicians and everyone who's involved in it, from the sound guys through to the riggers, through to the tour bus drivers, through the tour bus company, everyone. This is a massive industry, and we have all been just brought to an absolute halt at the moment. So that's really sad, but luckily, obviously, I've got the motorsport sideline, so I'm going to push on with that from my perspective. And you know, and hopefully we'll try and raise a little bit of awareness to the plight of some of the creatives, and hopefully we can bring it all back in some form, you know, next year. Let's hope it comes back, because none of us can live without, you know, music and concerts. Yeah. It just makes people happy, and I think, you know, that's kind of what the world needs right now. But anyway, back onto racing. there have already been a lot of offers to go back into GTs as well, which is very sweet, and some very interesting ones. But I think I've made no bones about it. I've wanted to tick a new box, and so I've wanted to go into BTCC for a long time. Ever since all of us have watched it since we were kids, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the ultimate door bashing, you know, fun. And so that's the aim currently, is to be back in a race car, but hopefully in BTCC. But
that's,
you know,
cool.
some conversations have been had, and we'll see what happens.
Dude,
that's,
I know,
amazing.
Crazy, right?
And that's amazing.
We genuinely didn't know this before you came in.
Really?
So this is that's huge. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, if it happens, it's like anything. The world is a tough place, and so I'm just currently talking to sponsors, and everyone's been affected. I think actually, to be a race driver at the moment is possibly the toughest time ever, because sponsorships have all been cut back from all major companies, which means that also events. From track days to everything else are becoming, you know, less and less. And so the whole industry, I think, has shrunk. And so it's very difficult for teams. They spend a fortune. Something like BTCC is very expensive, you know.
Yeah.
And
especially for insurance.
Yeah. Well, everything, to be honest. And just the amount of sheer time and manpower it takes to put a team out, to put cars out on the circuit, is very expensive, and so obviously all drivers have to try and find the budget to do that, and so I'm currently on the hunt. So if anyone's listening and fancy getting on board,
I'll
you know,
phone
I think
friends
we could...
at Ray-Ban and
I can promise them I'll finish a strong 14th.
I'll get you those Wayfarers you've always wanted.
But you know, this is the funny thing, I've been thinking about this, because it will be like starting again, because going from something like a big GT car with aerodynamics, massive amount of grip, loads of horsepower, traction control, ABS, you know, paddle shift. Yeah. There is none of that in touring cars. It's a much smaller engine, so much less power, potentially front wheel drive, you know, no aero, shifting again, sprint race format, circuits I haven't been to. I mean, it's like mind boggling. You know,
and
the
people
difference.
That have absolutely no qualms about bashing you.
No.
Because that's what happens.
Yeah, it's pretty close racing.
Yeah,
but it is the most, it still is one of the most exciting forms of motorsport to watch, I think.
It's brilliant.
It's absolutely fantastic. So a bit of a name drop, but a fairly good friend of mine, Jake, is doing rather well in touring car at the moment, Jake Hill.
Yeah, yeah. He's great.
So, and it's fascinating hearing him, because Jake and I, every year, we do an ice driving trip together. Beginning of the year, we go and skid around on a frozen lake. And I remember the beginning of this year, so the beginning of 2020, we were talking about his season ahead, and he'd landed his new drive, and he'd had a few successful races 2019. So 2020, everything was looking big and exciting. And even then, I remember at the beginning of the year, this is January, February, as COVID was becoming a thing, and everyone started to go, is this going to scupper things a bit? You know, is this going to make things weird? And I remember him then saying, yeah, it could be really difficult. And for a while, the races were paused and nothing happened. And we exchanged a few messages over that time. And even then, he was saying, I don't really know what's going to happen, because he suddenly had this new drive and a new car, and it was all looking very exciting. Fortunately, things have picked up and he's been able to get behind the wheel and win some races, which is great. But I think everyone, as you say, is having that same conversation now, because I think we all kind of thought, perhaps we're all trying to, you know, focus a bit too positively, but we all kind of thought maybe this will all be over by the end of the year. Like, maybe by Christmas, everything will be back to normal. And now we're looking at the world going, oh, is this just, we're not even halfway through. So it is a really, really fascinating time. And even for established teams and established drivers, they're in exactly the same position as yourself in thinking, What is it going to be like? You know, how are we going to do it?
Everyone's using that phrase, the new normal, which I find so infuriating.
It should be called the ever-evolving normal, there isn't a new anything. There's no consistency to it. We are all having to make it up as we go along.
Yeah. So, Amy, BTCC 21?
I'll be there. Let's do it.
Let's be honest. I mean, that's the way forward. That's where you should aim, I'll aim there
and we'll see how it goes on the way.
But it's nice, actually, all joking aside, it has been nice to see a lot more girls making their way through, making their way through in the motorsport world.
Well, even
well,
in BCCC,
right.
You had Jay Edwards the other day, Abby Eaton was
doing
it. Right.
And Jess did a fantastic job
Jess
as well.
Jess Hawkins is a hell of a driver.
Yeah. So
I'm surprised we haven't heard and seen more from her, actually, because she is a real talent.
She's brilliant.
She does all the stunts for the Bond movies as well. I'm teaching you things you already know, but I'm a huge fan. I think she's awesome.
So, you see, come on.
Okay, all right, we'll see where we can go with that.
Great.
That'd be fun.
Excellent.
I love it.
Maybe, I mean, just throwing it out there, maybe we can get sponsored by Denim. You know?
I'll see what I can do.
I look forward to the day that I phone up Amy and go, Amy, a truck's just arrived at the office with an industrial roll of denim. It says it's for you.
Yeah, they're going to wrap the car.
Is it particularly flame retardant?
Please, yes.
It's a white, clean vehicle. Now, right, I want to talk to you about, because it's an automotive podcast. We spent a lot of time talking about racing, but we do like to chat cars as well. Mm-hmm. Now, Rick, you turned up in something that I'm a little bit envious of here at Café de Machine today. Are you cool to tell us what it was?
What, my car?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because you've owned some awesome cars in your time.
Yes and no. I've made some big mistakes as well. You know,
Welcome to Room 8 at Café de Machine.
What was your first car, John Markov?
My first car was a Mark 1 Mini, 1989 Mini Cooper.
Thank you. How cool is that? Yeah, what was your first car, Amy?
Mine's also a 1985 Mini Mayfair. Yep.
Really cool. Andy, what was your first car?
I also am a Mini man, because mostly thanks to my mum.
That's amazing.
There is a Corrado.
So,
there as
what
well.
Was yours?
Well, leadingly, mine was an Austin Maestro. No, an Austin Metro, but full on granny spec Van der Pla. It had electric windows and lovely, slightly peely offy walnut veneer inside. I loved him. And I called it Mostyn.
Brilliant.
So
brilliant.
That was my first mistake.
Brilliant.
As cars go.
No, but
there are a lot of mistakes along the way as well.
Some amazing cars. Your vehicles have been brilliant. And the one that...
Fun stuff.
The one that's sitting outside, not because of what it is, but because of the nature of the design, I just think is mega.
I don't know what it is.
I agree.
I don't know what it is either. I'm waiting for the penny to drop out here.
I've got an i8, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
And, you have got an i8, haven't you?
I'll be honest, I think now they're possibly one of the best used car buys you can get, because first of all the design is straight out of superhero book, you know,
sure.
When they came out,
you kind of looked at them and you think, that is that real, is that a thing on the road?
And you wouldn't think it would look like that,
yes,
would you?
Exactly.
You know, and just every time you get in it, it's, hey, look, listen, I'm a kid of the 80s, I just wanted to be David Hasselhoff or anyone with a white Lamborghini, right? And all I wanted was scissor doors, and I finally got scissor doors.
Yep.
And let me tell you, in a car park, they are atrocious. however, the novelty does not wear off. You turn up and go, look at that. And it's just great fun, and kids stare and want to have a look. And it's brilliant. And but as a car as well, first of all, it's a BMW, so it's just brilliant at everything it does. Mm. And the whole concept, when you think, when were they sort of thought about? Was it like 2009 when it was,
I think it was around 2010-11 I think, when they first started making an appearance. I'm trying to think, I saw one for the first time at one of the Festival of Speeds, and it was a long time ago. I'm thinking, it must be
so
10
when you
years
think
ago.
That is when the technology was thought about. And now, I mean, so the front wheels are electric, the rear wheel is powered by a mini-ish engine. I think
it's a little three-cylinder thing, isn't
it? But it's just so clever, and it's not an out and out sports car. You know, it's kind of in between. It's sort of, I'd say, a GT car and a fairly rapid sort of sports car. But
is it fun?
It just does everything really well, and it's just so great on long journeys. Today, you can actually play a game and make the range go up, which is very unusual. because you can drive it softly, and then it'll just recharge the battery and then give you an extra 5 miles again. And so,
I also know that the game of when you're like, I reckon I can make that go. What's the Honda, which is the hybrid, but the it's quite, you know, like 5-7 years old now.
Insight.
Whatever it was, basically you drive.
Oh, the CRV.
Yes, that's it. I have one of those. And you have this game where you're like, because this thing, the I don't know what it's like in the i8, but with the hybrid side of that, it was only, you could only use it when you had a button on the steering wheel.
It was just a boost, wasn't it?
Like, you overtook people, and then you're just like, all right, now I've got to like build it back up again.
You had a boost button.
Oh lord,
I mean, that's so.
But it was
cool.
One of those tax swindle things, because it was like, we'll call it a hybrid because you got this electric boost, but you can't actually drive anywhere on the electric engine, but because it's got an electric bit to it, you don't pay tax.
Exactly.
Well, this is also being obviously a hard up musician, and given the current fiscal situation of all musicians, I'm actually really pleased I've got it, because genuinely, as well, apart from looking like a sort of a supercar, it's so cheap to run. I think it's like £35 to fill up, and you'd have no congestion charge, no tax. It's really cheap to run, which is crazy. It's probably the cheapest car I've ever owned.
How many miles are you getting to 300 to 30 quid?
Well,
fuel?
If you drive like carefully, I think you'll get about 450.
Really?
Seriously?
Yeah.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
It really is. I'd obviously, if you flip it across, it's quite cool. And inside at night, it makes you feel like you're in Tron, the movie, because it's all got the blue strips and stuff. It's really cool.
No, that is cool.
But you flip it across and it all lights up red, and then it pipes in, and I know apparently the sound is a bit synthetic, but
can
who
I tell
cares?
You?
It sounds wicked.
So I've got a fact about the i8.
Go on.
The sound that you hear, believe it or not, and there will be somebody that will write in a comment or a review or on Instagram if I've got this wrong, but I'm fairly sure I've got this right. There are 8 external speakers that make your car sound the way your car sounds.
That's so cool.
And I've heard reports.
I mean, there you go. There's another thing. Why?
I've heard reports that, because they're getting, the early ones are now getting to a point where things are starting to break. Nothing too detrimental. Don't panic. What? Some of the speakers have been malfunctioning. So right. As you've been as people have been accelerating their RIA, the speakers distorts, as speakers do that get used and used and used, as yeah. you'll know. So I8s have been driving up the road making like crackly farty sounds.
So what you're saying is, from a musician's point of view, I could get the speakers upgraded then it would yeah. sound epic.
You genuinely could, yeah.
See, there's always a positive, eh?
Yeah, it totally is.
But genuinely, though, all jokes aside, as a car, I think it's, and for what I paid as well, I just think that it cannot be beaten. It's such a cool thing. And like, if we're getting geeky, okay,
you yes,
know,
please.
The view from when you, you know how everyone always takes pictures in their car magazines of like being in a Ferrari and the sort of the side mirror view backwards, yeah, you know, yeah, and you get yeah. the haunches yeah. and stuff yeah. like that. Well, you know, those are all on supercars, and this is not a supercar price anymore. It's like a, you know, a new Ford basically price, yeah. you know, and you still get that view back with the curves and the air intake and the sort mm-hmm. of yeah, the, cool. the rear window. And it's just mega. There's one problem I've encountered, and this literally happened two nights ago. I was heading back from a six-a-side football game where I'd managed to rip my hamstring in about 5 minutes because I'm now 46 and evidently can't beat a 19-year-old to a ball anymore. But I was driving past, and there were these kids, and they're all going... They were pointing, and as I was driving up to them, and they were going, they're putting their foot down to go
rev it.
And I didn't know what to do.
You should have just went like, down the window and gone vroom.
Yeah. I mean, what do you do? I was like,
get those speakers that you were talking about. You need to have like
to tune them up with a button.
Yeah, and just be like,
yeah. So that's the only thing, you can't knock it into neutral and give it a little bit of a rev, but
I mean, but apart from that, pay.
Yeah, but yes. No, it's really great, and you know, when the range, yeah, it was obviously one of the first ones, so you don't get a massive amount of battery range. You know, I probably get max about 10 miles or 12 miles, but if that is still a game changer, if you're using it every day and just doing little mm-hmm. errands yeah. around, you're still you know, not using any petrol. So I would, and it's actually very funny because today I also got a call from someone quite prominent in a very well-known rock band that rhymes with the Arkness, who sent me a message going, I think it was an amazing message. He went, I think I covet your I8. Oh. He is an amazing wordsmith. And so we were actually chatting this morning whilst I was on the dog walk about the merits of the I8 and why he should upgrade and so brilliant. From his current vehicle. And one of the best front men in rock, hopefully
amazing.
I might have persuaded into it as well. But I would tell everyone if you can get into one, because I think now they're at rock bottom of where they're going to be.
Bust a myth for me, though.
Yeah, go on.
How many times have you hit your head getting in and out?
None.
Really?
None. There's
good.
A way.
I'm glad you said that, because I've heard so many people say, all you do is smash your head getting in and out all the time.
Ridiculous. But you know, and this is the other cool thing, is like when you open the door, yeah, it's got that seal, you have to fashion a way of getting in, yeah. but once you've got it, it's fine. And but you can see all the exposed, it's a full carbon tub,
yeah, it's beautiful,
you know, and that's all exposed. And what other cars do you get that?
Oh, I think that's great,
you know,
yeah, unless you are spending McLaren money, you're not,
yeah. And so, there are so many amazing things about this car, and I totally think it will be a future classic. First of all, it was groundbreaking, yeah. and it's just great for every day. I just wish I could put it away rather than use it as my everyday. I wish I could afford a second car, but I can't.
Well, I think it's use it, man. That's what they're for.
It's not going to go rusty.
Nope.
Now, listen, we're basically out of time, but you mentioned scissor doors and you used the words David Hasselhoff early on. Now,
a dream combo.
No, the absolute
white Countach, right, on my wall and dressed as David Hasselhoff at 13.
Man. Now the regular listeners to this show and the beady eared amongst you may recall a pod which is probably going back 9 or 10 episodes now, where John Markar promised us he would text the Hoff.
He did, didn't
he? He made this glorious statement that I've got the Hoff's number in my phone, produces his phone. Oh, it must be in my other phone.
Yeah.
Right. And he then made a promise he would text the Hoff something ridiculous. I can't remember what the ridiculous phrase was, but he made the promise he was going to do it. So, John.
Hi.
What did the Hoff say?
I didn't text him. I'm sorry. But I'll do it. I will.
Well, we can actually. No, I'm joking.
Let's play Hassle the Hoff.
We'll got in your phone.
It's a dangerous game to play.
Actually, I think Rick comfortably wins.
You know? I'm sure Rick will win that competition.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, no. Rick wins.
I live in Nottingham. Come on.
Rick, look, it's been a joy, man. I said at the start it was going to be my favourite. It is.
Thank you, guys. It's been wicked.
It's just an absolute pleasure, mate. Thank you so much for your company. I'm going to watch you cruise off Hoffesk into the night and just think...
Silently.
And, I still want to be you. I think you're brilliant.
That's ridiculous, but thank you.
Thanks for coming in, man. You've been listening to the Driven Chat podcast. That was the amazing Rick Parfitt Jr. What a joy. John, Amy and I, well, we plan to be back next week, don't we, guys?
We're here.
More miscellaneous automotive waffling from us. If you haven't checked out our back catalogue, we've got a few shows now, haven't we, John?
We have. We've got a fair few. Gosh, who have you missed if you've tuned in just for Rick's? I'm sure you have. We've got Al Clark, film director. We've got Phil McGovern, owner of Cafe and Machine. We've got Mike Brewer. Gosh, we've got two Mike Brewers, in fact.
James May.
Charlie Borman. Mm-hmm. Some good people.
Big names.
And everyone else that's on that we haven't just mentioned as well.
Who are all very lovely people.
who are all of you are brilliant.
And really special. We also have a sister podcast called the Driven Celebrities Podcast. And that's if you like your celebrity fix. It's just me chatting to various different famous faces, but they're really quite rewarding chats. It's not your sort of vacuous, so I've got something to sell. It's actually a little bit more considered than that. And we've been very lucky to have some really major names chatting very candidly. So if you fancy something else this week, then give the Driven Celebrities podcast a try as well. For now, though, tell your friends, like, subscribe, share, and don't leave a bad review, because they not very nice. We'll see you next week. Love you. Bye.
The Driven Chat podcast in association with Paramex Digital. You dream it, we bring it to life. Find out more at drivenchat.com.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Oh, wow. You've made it to the end. The very end. And it's John Markar here again, reminding you that this podcast, the Driven Chat podcast, has now run its course and has come to an end. To find the new format, search the Driven podcast in your preferred podcast app, or head on over to the website driven.site to find some quick and easy links through to the new episodes in the new formats on your preferred apps. Thanks. Bye.